Yes, that lion forms on the right, babe.
Not that man.
Yeah. Headed baseball. Enough wind after the woo. Yeah!
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 203 on the Fan. McMichael here with you. I got you for 3 hours. You know what it is. 888-808-1019. Me and Fleegs with you until the warm-up show at 5 here on this Thursday morning, where we get to celebrate a little bit every day. Pennant race baseball, this is what it is. It's every day. It's the ups and downs. Yesterday I was in here, both teams had lost. Mets and Braves were tied for the third wild card. The Yankees only a half a game up on Baltimore. And today, we're on top of the world. Certainly the Met fans. And we'll start there. Because my goodness, I told you yesterday, I spent all day yesterday. I spent the whole show. Really? Telling you how your best players need to perform. And how this Met offense, specifically about the Mets, this Met offense needs to be their strength. And as much as I'm impressed with the pitching, and as much as I'm impressed with this team and their guttiness and everything else, and that continues to just jump off the page. Eventually, if they're going to make it through this tough stretch that starts on Friday against the division-leading Philadelphia Phillies, who they haven't played since London, that was June. It's been forever since we've seen the Philadelphia Phillies. But if they're going to accomplish this, if they're going to get into the postseason, it's going to take their best players and it's going to take their best unit, which is the offense. And they were three outs away from me being almost prophetic in the opposite direction of, well, what is this offense right now? Because, yeah, the pitching's been great. And Manaea with another very good performance. Not his best necessarily, but gets out of the jam with the bases loaded. Only gives up the one run. Figures out a way to just do another, you know, excellent performance. And they held down these last place Blue Jays and the run scored in this series. But ultimately, this offense has been struggling. Right? Even game one, they win. They win it on wild pitches and passed balls. They haven't done anything offensively. They've completely cooled off. And they're getting no hit by Bowden Francis, who, yes, has pitched well since he's come up for these last-place Blue Jays. Yes, he took a no-hitter into the ninth inning earlier in the season. And, yes, you know, he's got some good stuff. But, ultimately, this was three outs away from losing two out of three to the lousy Blue Jays. Three outs away from being no-hit. Three outs away from feeling like, man, this offense is in the tank right now at the biggest part of the year. I know they've won some games, clearly. One of the hotter teams in baseball. Yes, 10 out of 12, all of that. But moving forward, about to take on the Phillies, how do you feel about this team right now with this offense performing the way it's performing, being shut down by the Blue Jays, three outs away from real concern about what this team is going to be like down the stretch here against the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies and trying to win this damn wild card? And then Lindor does what Lindor has done all year. And if you want to have the MVP conversation, I heard Keith having it a little bit, and I know I turned on SNY, they're talking about what MVP means. If you want to have the MVP conversation, I suppose we could have it at 888-808-1019. That doesn't concern me. I'm not concerned about Lindor winning the MVP. I'm not concerned about being the first Met to win MVP. I'm concerned about getting into the postseason and winning. And I don't care whether he's the MVP or not. The man is unstoppable. And that is an enormous home run. That is the biggest hit of the year. That is a hit that leads to the six-run inning. That is a hit that gets this Met team off the deck and makes you feel like you could survive anything heading into this Philadelphia series. That is an enormous home run. Now, why did he get a fastball down the middle 0-2? I don't know. I don't bother to ask such questions because he got one and he freaking clobbered that ball. There's been a lot of hits throughout this Met season. There's been highs and lows. We've talked about them all. I've called them dead. I know we laugh. Behind the curtain, Fliegelman had to run to the bathroom, so he's not there to give you the sounder of me calling them dead. I'm sure he's very pissed at himself right now. I've called them dead. There's been highs. There's been lows. There's the walk-off home run against Miami. Lindor's been doing this forever. You could point to a bunch of different aspects of this season and why they're 14 games over 500, why they have the one-game lead over the Atlanta Braves for the final wild card. There's a million things you can point to. None. If they make it, if they are playing a wild card series, you can point to no other hit bigger than this home run yesterday. That is a game-changing, that is a, I don't want to call it season-changing, but I'll be honest with you, I would have felt a lot different about this team because I talked about it yesterday. I need this offense to be their strength. I'm super impressed with the starting pitching. The bullpen, Reed Garrett's kind of worked his way back into it. Yes, Stanek, you know, gave up a run in the ninth and you had to bring in your closer. Fine. You know, Buto has kind of come down from being a revelation out in the bullpen. I still have faith in him, but he's not been what we've, you know, what we first got when he first transitioned into a reliever. But I'm impressed with the bullpen and the way they've been able to change it as the season went along and find guys to come in and get back into good graces and be able to do what they've done over here. And the starting pitching, forget about it. Super impressed. But honestly, as this stretch has gone on over the last couple games, even with the winning and the back end of that 9-game winning streak and now this series against Toronto, the offense has scared me a little bit. Because you need this offense to be a dominant force. And Pete Alonso continues to do, you know, relatively nothing. He comes through with a clutch sacrifice fly. I know it's not a double in the gap. I know it's not a home run. It's a sacrifice fly to help bolster the lead. Like, that is a big-time sacrifice fly. So that's finally at least a little bit of a check mark from Pete Alonso. But this offense really was three outs away from heading into the biggest series of the year, and obviously the biggest stretch of the year where the season starts now, and they were three outs away from, I'm sorry, there's no way the team doesn't take a bit of a hit in confidence. Now, I know they've bounced back from every big loss. I know they bounced back recently from the Diamondbacks' blown save from Diaz, and they went on a tear. And I know they've had multiple big losses throughout the year. I know they started the season, and it's ironic, too, that they started the year 0-5, and that first real big win was under similar circumstances where they were being no-hit. The rock bottom moment, according to Gary Cohen, where they were being no-hit, ninth inning, nobody in the building, 0-5. And then Pete Alonso, with one of his few clutch moments of the year, hits that home run. And you can kind of bookend it from there, where they got off the deck in the early part of the season, and now they've secured themselves into the final run where you feel good about the team. You are flying high heading into Philadelphia. Now, they're playing well, too, but the season starts right now for the Mets. This is where they have a one-game lead against the Atlanta Braves with a stretch where they're playing Philadelphia. They're playing the Nationals. They're having another four-game set with Philadelphia leading into that all-important Braves series. And the difference between where they could have been heading into this stretch and where they are now, thanks to Lindor. And yeah, obviously the rest of the offense too, and Alvarez, who has shown moments of clutch in his career, who comes up with big home runs in his career. Now, he's had a miserable, let's just be fair, he's had a miserable offensive season here. He just has. But that could be a home run that hopefully can kind of get him going in the right direction because, again, I still believe it. I still believe it by the end of this thing, by the end of this month, when they're in that Milwaukee series and we're going to determine whether or not the Mets are getting ready for a wild card series or the Mets are getting ready to pack their bags one way or another, this offense is going to have to be the unit that gets them there. I still believe that. As much as I'm impressed with Manaea, as much as I've been impressed with Severino, as much as you've been impressed with Peterson, as much as McGill had that start the other day and you feel good about him, as much as this starting rotation that's been one of the best rotations in all of baseball since June, to me, if they're going to make it through this stretch, if they are going to pull this thing off, if they are going to get into the postseason, it's the offense that's going to have to carry them. And in this game, yes, you get the Lindor home run that completely changes everything. It allows them to breathe. It takes the pressure off the rest of the team for the rest of that inning. No doubt about it. That home run is the quintessential moment, maybe of the season, certainly of the game, certainly of the inning. But to get the at least clutch sacrifice fly from Alonso, and then to get the three-run bomb from a young kid who's shown this before, who's shown the ability to have clutch moments, who we talk about as soon as he comes back from injury, they go off on a tear. The record with him, without him, all that we talked about, and as much as he struggled offensively, the importance he is to this team, if you could ever get him going, if you could ever figure out a way to get Alonso going, and this offense can be what it was in that main stretch that brought you back from the dead, brought you back from 11 games under 500, brought you back into a real season here. If you can get that offense back to go along with the dominant starting pitching, now not only are you a team that could possibly be the third wild card, you're a team nobody's going to want to play come postseason time. And that all switched on an 0-2 fastball that Lindor absolutely pounded out to right field. What a huge home run. What a big game. And what a stretch of baseball they're about to embark on right now. And I'm pumped for it. I'm excited for it. And this team right now is flying high. You almost wish they could just play tomorrow, but later today. They're going to have to wait a day. But we talk about big players. And again, we can have the MVP conversation if you want. I know a lot of people want to talk about it. I don't care. I honestly don't care. I don't care what trophy that Francisco Lindor is holding at the end of the year. I don't care on whether or not he's the guy they do the interview with in the stupid, dopey MLB show, declaring him the MVP. I don't care right now. At the end of the year, I might care. At the end of the year, we might have a discussion about it. Right now, I know this guy is going to come through. He's done it enough. I trust him. He's been incredible since they moved him to the leadoff spot. And that home run changed the trajectory of these last 3 weeks. There's no doubt about it. That home run makes you feel completely different about this team heading into Philadelphia. There is no doubt. And to get off the deck like that, to continue to show these moments, and it's the manager, right? We've talked endlessly about how, you know, unbelievable the steady hand that he has been all year, the accountability and the difference between him and Boone, since he comes from the Yankee system and under Boone, that's been the main difference. We've talked about it. But to watch this group consistently battle back, whether it's within games, within stretches, within series, coming back off of blown saves, coming back off of disgusting losses, where you thought they were dead, where you thought, I mean, it's 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, they're four games behind Atlanta, and I'm trying to scratch my head figuring out a way that how they can actually accomplish this. And it's two weeks later, they're a game up. And at every turn when you think they might just not do this, every turn when you think maybe this team isn't as special as we thought, every turn when you're like, geez, this offense is in the freaking tank here, they rally back, and it's always Lindor. An incredible performance from the Mets, an incredible performance from Lindor, and now we get ready for a stretch run starting with seven games against Philadelphia, three against Philadelphia and Philly, seven over the next 10 against the first-place Philadelphia Phillies. That's going to determine their season. And I'm sorry, I know there's Met fans out there who are hung up on what's happened in the past. And I know there are Met fans, and I was, you know, obviously I'm not a Met fan, but I'll tell you, two weeks ago, down four games to the Atlanta Braves, I wasn't talking about how I expected the gritty Mets to find a way. I wasn't talking about how this team consistently comes back and this team consistently finds a way and Lindor is, you know, having an MVP type season and comes through in every clutch moment and this pitching staff's had the best ERA since June. Wasn't what I was saying. You know what I was saying? The Atlanta Braves consistently show you this is their time of year. The Atlanta Braves consistently show you they have a winning pedigree. The Atlanta Braves are a team I'm afraid of to try and make up four games over the last month of the season to try and pass them. I don't know how the Mets are going to do it. That's what I was saying 2 weeks ago. I'll own it. That's what I was saying. And within a two-week span, they have completely changed the narrative. They have completely overtaken the Braves. They're a game up. And for me, I don't know how you don't believe. Like, I just don't know how you don't believe. Listen, anything could happen. And we talked, like, yesterday they were tied. They lost the game. Bassett shut them down. Peterson finally had a, you know, miserable start in the stretch. And they, the Braves kicked the crap out of the Nationals and you were tied again. It is a day-to-day, up-and-down type thing. But has there been a more resilient group that has shown you they are capable of playing the up-and-down nature of what will be a pennant race the rest of the way? Is there another group? Have the Braves shown you anywhere near the toughness? Now, I know they're dealing with injuries, but have the Braves shown you anywhere near the toughness of the kind of team that can show you the pedigree that a day-to-day, they won't be devastated by one loss. They won't be bothered by a bad stretch. This won't bother them. This won't hurt them. A bad pitching performance, a shutdown game offensively. Nothing's going to bother them, and nothing is going to lead into the next day. Is there another group right now in all of Major League Baseball that you would trust to steady the ship and continue to play good baseball and continue to get clutch hits and continue to get good pitching performances no matter what happened the day before than the New York Mets? I dare you to find one. So as we get ready for this playoff push, and we'll get to the Yankees in the next segment, as they take a game from the Kansas City Royals, another playoff team, another team over 500, another team with an excellent pitcher. They can't beat the bad teams, but they continue to beat the teams over 500 as they've now taken series from the Cubs and the Royals in what felt like a playoff game. And we talk about the big players coming through. I talk about how Judge and Soto need to come through. Well, Soto showed up last night. We'll get to it all coming up in a minute. 888-808-1019. But this is playoff baseball. This is pennant race baseball. Yankees a game and a half up, two in the loss column in the division. The Mets with a miraculous win, getting off the deck after being completely shut down by Bowden Francis for being no hit through eight. And for both of our teams here in New York on, obviously, the 23rd anniversary of September 11th. Both New York teams show their resiliency, get big home runs from their star players, and win extremely big games to set them up for the next 3 weeks, trying to win a division and trying to get to the third wild card. We'll get a little bit more into the Yankees as we go. We'll start with your Met phone calls, 888-808-1019. It's playoff baseball, and it starts right now.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 224. McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. And I love this crap, but I may move to England. Nothing is better than pennant race baseball. I am so glad that we have both of these teams right now. And it's fun, man. I'm in my house last night. I'm watching the Yankee game. I'm pacing. I'm tossing a baseball up and down as I'm pacing. My wife doesn't understand. She wants to watch something. She's like, the Mets aren't even on. You got to use all three TVs? Well, I'm like, I got to watch the Oriole and Red Sox game, and I got the Brave game. I'm like, you know, I'm watching baseball. She's sitting there furious at me. I'm occupying all three televisions. She does have it rough. I have to admit that. Like, she has no say over the television. I heard Keith a little bit as I was driving in, and he was talking about how he's fourth in the house. And in many ways, I agree. Like, when it comes to, like, what I want to do on the weekend or, like, who gets relegated to what responsibilities or taking the kids. I am definitely last on the totem pole. I get dictated a lot. I own the televisions, though. And I do feel bad about it a lot. I do own the televisions. I have three TVs in that room that I hung up, and I was using all three, and my wife's sitting there twiddling her thumbs. It's not right. I'm a bad guy.
It's not for leisure, though. That's how you provide living.
Exactly. That's what I say. You know, you chose to be a teacher. I chose to watch baseball for a living. We made our decisions. What are you going to do? When you're doing homework with the boys, I don't complain. Yeah, but it's the best, man. I love it.
Your wife wouldn't have loved it, but could you imagine if there was no pennant, if this was last year in baseball and we had that week one, the feeling that we'd have around here, everybody?
No. You're right. Thank God for these two teams. And I know, you know, a lot of Yankee fans still are mad at the team. Again, I was listening to Keith. I was like, yeah, you know what? They're right. It was a rough loss last night. That's what it felt like. My geez. I thought the Yankees won. I guess I missed it. Clay Holmes pitched, so we got to hate them again. Always a reason to hate the Yankees. Every night there's a reason. Every night there's a reason. Don't you worry about it. If you came for the hate, you'll find something. You will find something. And the Yankees do come from behind twice to win a game last night. And the offense is still struggling, and Judge is still struggling. Really, Gleyber Torres is the only one swinging the bat pretty well. And I know we didn't like the lineup. You could yell about that. Jason Dominguez not in the lineup, which that one I don't understand. Wells, I think any fear that anybody has about Wells not playing a lot, I think that's gone. I don't think this is a platoon. I don't think you're going to see a lot of Trevino. You've seen a lot of Wells. He's a catcher. He's going to get days off. He did just bang up his hand. I know he hit a home run the other night. He played the day after. He's going to get the occasional day off. That's just the nature of the business with a catcher. Not playing Dominguez, when you said you were going to play him a lot, I get it. You know, he's not really that great a right-handed hitter, and it's a pitcher, even though he's left-handed, who has reverse splits and kind of gets out right-handed hitters better than he gets out left-handed hitters in Reagan. So, I mean, so I didn't love it, but it is what it is. But the offense struggling, but that moment, I mean, we had two dramatic home runs last night, or yesterday. Obviously, the Lindor one. And I would put, and I opened with it. I think the Met win is a bigger win. I still think the Met win because they don't have a cushion. They don't have a net. As much as I think the Yankees absolutely need to win the division and will be pissed if they don't, they're securely in the postseason. The season does not end at the end of the month. The Mets do not have a safety net. The Mets have got to figure out a way to win this third wild card. These games are enormous. That home run is a huge home run. That win for the Mets, as much as I think it's an important win for the Yankees, that win for the Mets is a huge win. They're about to embark on a very difficult end of the schedule. They're chasing the Braves. There is no safety net. They have to do this. I think the Yankees need to win the division. If they don't, there's still a path to win the championship. It doesn't end with them not winning the division. But we had two dramatic home runs to see, because we're all... If you're a Yankee fan, you're watching that game last night, your head is in your hand with Soto on the ground. And Soto's had a couple of these moments throughout the year. His hand's been bothering him. We've seen swing and misses where he suddenly acts like his hand's going to fall off. He did go on the IL for a bit earlier in the year, or he missed some time early in the year, a couple of days off. He didn't go on the IL. Missed a couple of days for the Dodgers series and everything earlier in the year. He's had this moment where he's kind of struggling through some injuries, but he fouls one off his foot. He's laying on the ground in pain, and you just have the season's over if he's hurt. Let's be fair, I might be a Yankee shill. We all get it. The season's over. I'll find ways to tell you they could still win, but without Soto or Judge, they're in big-time trouble. And for him to come back and hit that bomb of a home run to give them the lead was just... a huge home run. The Yankees desperately needed it. The offense has been, even though they won 2 out of 3 in Chicago, hardly did anything offensively. In this series, they scored the 10 runs in the first two games, and then got and got completely shut down these next two games. But for this team to rally back, come from behind, and I know Clay Holmes blew the lead. Everyone's going to yell about Clay Holmes. I'm sorry. Do you think this bullpen, and I was wrong about keeping him in the closer. I can admit when I was wrong. Weaver's been great. Moving him from the closer was absolutely necessary. I don't see a way for him to get back into the closer role, even though I thought when it first moved out, I thought there was a way for him to get back into the closer role. Weaver's been great. And they're going to tell us it's bullpen by committee, and they're going to have lanes. Weaver's the closer right now, and rightfully so. But do you think this bullpen is good enough to completely eliminate Clay Holmes? Like, do you have enough faith to get through a playoff series, to get through the to win this division the rest of the way, never pitching Clay Holmes in any big-time situations? It's the 7th inning in a one-run game. All I heard was, I don't care where you pitch him. Pitch him in the 7th. Pitch him in the 8th. He can't pitch the 9th. Then he goes out there for one game in the 7th inning, and we lose our crap. What, should they give up on Clay Holmes? You trust Canely, Cousins, and Weaver enough, those three guys, and we'll see if Hamilton, who just came back, that's it. They're going to make it the rest of the way. They're going to make it through the division. They're gonna beat the Orioles and win the division, and then they're gonna get through the postseason pitching three guys in big time moments. Three. They need Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes came in, he gave up a seeing eye ground ball single and then a hard hit line drive, and then got the next three guys out. It was a sacrifice fly. He gave up a run, no doubt. Not good enough. I'm not praising Clay Holmes by any stretch. It was another poor outing, but they can't just never throw him. He's a sinker ball pitcher who needs some, if he's going to pitch well, he needs to throw every once in a while. You can't just banish Clay Holmes. If they had enough guys, I would be open to it. The New York Yankees and this pitcher, you saw Luis Gil give you five innings, right? Nestor Cortez can't get through the third time. Carlos Rodon strikes out a lot of guys, throws a lot of pitches. Who knows how deep into games he's going to go. You got the ace who right now in Cole, who you trust but hasn't pitched that much this year, and I don't know if he's going to be the kind of guy who can go in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning as much as I would have had confidence in him doing so last year. They're going to need their relievers. Clay Holmes has been one of their better relievers since he's been brought here. I know he lost the closer role, rightfully so. And I know he's struggling. I understand. He didn't implode. He didn't walk the ballpark. It wasn't he didn't know where it was going. He gave up two singles, a fly ball, a sacrifice fly, and a strikeout. Like, you're going to get, you might have to give up a run. They scored two runs in this game. That's still a game you're supposed to win. 2-2 going into the eighth, going into the ninth. You cannot just abandon Clay Holmes. They don't have a good enough bullpen to just abandon Clay Holmes. In the seventh inning in a one-run game, you're going to have to trust Clay Holmes at some point on some level, someday, some when, somehow. They don't have enough out there to just move on from Clay Holmes and never pitch him. If Leiter was pitching up to what they hoped he would be, maybe they could. They have three guys we trust, right? Who's in the circle of trust? It's Weaver, it's Canely, it's Cousins. You think they're going to win the World Series trusting three pitchers? You gotta still throw Clay Holmes out there. You just have to. He lost his closer role, but you got to pitch him sometimes. It's about having the best. It's also about building the best roster moving forward. It's about having the best team in the postseason. They need Clay Holmes to be somewhat serviceable. They're not going to get through this bullpen without him. He gives up the run, and the Yankees still should win the game. 2-2, that's at Yankee Stadium. That's let's go, offense. And they were able to just get enough and extra innings, figured out a way to win when they've been brutal in extra innings. And Weaver's been great, and Clay and Canely's been good, and Cousins gets through as well. So it was a good performance from the New York Yankees, a huge win. Jazz Chisholm comes through with the base hit. Wells gets pinch hit for. Wells pinch hits for Trevino, gives you the sac fly to tie the game in the 10th. A good overall win from the New York Yankees, who now take 2 out of 3 from Kansas City and get ready for a stretch run of their own. And we're watching the game in Baltimore in Boston, and we see O'Neill hit the walk-off home run. And you knew the Yankees had an opportunity that they couldn't squander, and they didn't, thankfully. But everyone, it's amazing. Even when they win, we're mad about the loss. I got a bunch of guys tweet me, and they said, that's after the Met win. That's a win that the Yankees could never accomplish. And I said, and if they did, the story would be how they would no hit for 8 innings. That's how it is right now. If the Yankees won the game the Mets won earlier today, we'd all be pissed about how bad they were for 8 innings. The 6-run ninth wouldn't be the story. It would be the 8 innings they'd got no hit. Even on the base path last night, everyone's upset. I have no problem with Verdugo trying to turn a ball into a double. The guy, Pham, made an incredible throw. We clamor that they're not aggressive enough, that they don't try hard enough, that they're lazy. The guy's been called lazy. He's trying to hustle out a double. It took a perfect throw to beat him. That was a good win from the New York Yankees last night. A good victory from the New York Yankees. And I talked about it. You need your guys to perform. Here we go. And Judge and Soto stepped up last night. They need Judge to step up. Another game where he had a terrible at-bat in this game. Well, he's up 3-0. He's up 3-0 in this game. I forget what situation it is. But this is how you know Judge is not right. Judge is up 3-0. He takes a fastball down the middle. Then he swings at a changeup outside the strike zone, 3-2. And then he swings and misses at a curveball out of strike zone for strike three. And it's just like, he's just not right. And I know he had a hit in this game, and he's not been god-awful, but he is not himself. And hopefully Soto, who's been slumping as well, comes through in this game. He could turn it on, and Judge needs to turn it on, because that's just what needs to happen. Like, I was just watching SNY as I was coming to the studio, and Sal was killing the Yankees after a victory. I get it. And then talking about how Judge and Soto mask all the other problems in the New York Yankees. Well, couldn't you argue that Lindor has masked? Isn't that what MVPs do and great players do? Hasn't Lindor masked some of the problems of the New York Mets? Like, that's what it's about. Juan Soto and Judge are part of the team. They're not a mask. They're not something else. They're not something from outside being put on. They are the team. Judge and Soto performing is not a mask. That's how they're built. And they need Judge and Soto to perform. They need these guys in the middle lineup, or they won't win. The Mets need Lindor to come through with big clutch home runs, or they won't win. That's how it works. You're gonna lose to a team whose best players play better than your best players. You think all these years the Yankees have been losing to the Astros because the Astros have been, you know, it's been their secondary guys. Who's killed the Yankees? Bregman, Altuve. That's why they win. That's why they've been in 8 consecutive ALCSs, because their best players perform in the postseason. Does anybody say Altuve has masked the issues of the Houston Astros? No, he is the reason. And that's what you need heading into this postseason run. And yesterday, you got them from both teams. Their best players came through, won them games, had dramatic home runs, big moments. And now these two teams embark on important stretch runs. The Yankees welcome in the Boston Red Sox, who they have not played well against this year at all. And they have a 4-game set against Boston before going out west of all places to take on Seattle and Oakland A's before coming back for what will be the biggest series of the year. The 3-game set against the Baltimore Orioles, who now the Yankees have a 1.5-game lead, 2 in the loss column. And that was a big win last night. But it drives me nuts. It does drive me nuts. Call me a Yankee shill, whatever. I'm excited about the win. I'm excited about finally having the roster that we all expected. I think they have put a little emphasis. You saw some hustle last night. Yeah. Verdugo got thrown out of second base trying to leg out a double. It took a perfect throw. Yeah, Perez, who played unbelievable in the series. You couldn't get him out at all. And he's playing gold glove caliber first base. I thought the guy could barely move. The guy's out there snagging line drives. The guy's out there tagging runners and spinning around and throwing home to get Volpe. Now, Volpe should have been running hard the whole way before he made his decision. I don't mind the hesitation. You got to see how the play goes. The problem is, if you watch the play, and I think O'Neill said it perfectly, if you watch the play, if you know what we're talking about, one out, runners on first and second, Trevino up late in this game, tie game at 2, and Trevino hits a ground ball to Perez at first base, and Volpe runs dead into third base and kind of slows up running into third base, then takes a look at Perez, and Perez turns to make a tag or go back to first base and make a tag on Trevino, Volpe makes a beeline for home and gets thrown out at the plate. It wasn't so much the hesitation to see if what's going to happen at first base, it's that he should have ran through the bag hard and then made a decision. It's the slow stepping into third. That's the problem. The third baseman's nowhere. He's not going to get thrown out. You have to turn that bag hard and then take a look at first base and make your decision. So it was a little sloppy, but it's aggressiveness. And Paul O'Neill talked about it in the broadcast. I like to see the Yankees play aggressive. I want to see Volpe try and use his speed. I want to see, we complain left and right, Verdugo doesn't run out the ground balls to first base, doesn't run out ground balls. Rightfully so, I've been killing him too. He doesn't run out ground balls. Then we're going to kill him when he tries to leg out a double and it takes a perfect throw to get him. Like, let's be aggressive. Let's push it. I thought they recognized they were getting shut down. They recognized they're being shut down by another lefty starting pitcher. He hits one off the wall, he's going to try and turn it into a double. And I had no problem going to Clay Holmes last night. None. I don't. I really don't. You can't just abandon Clay Holmes. He's out of the closer role. Totally agree with it. He's going to be nowhere near it. Totally agree with it. You can't pitch him in the seventh. You're going to rely on three pitchers the entire rest of the way. It just doesn't. I don't think the Yankee bullpen is good enough to just never pitch Clay Holmes in any meaningful situations. You're not going to survive on three guys. Now, I know Hamilton could make it a fourth. We're not there with him yet. He's just back. If Hamilton makes it a fourth, then maybe I feel different about it. But right now, they need Clay Holmes. They just do. His bullpen's not deep enough. These starting pitchers don't go deep into games. You got Clark Schmidt coming back from injury. You got Nestor Cortez, who pretty much can't get through the lineup the third time. You got a young Luis Gil who throws, who'll have a stretch where he throws 11 balls out of 14 pitches. And you got Gerrit Cole, who hasn't been the workhorse he has been in previous years because of the injury. And you got Carlos Rodon, who at any moment might need to be taken out of a game. Like, if they want to win this division and they want to make it to the World Series, Clay Holmes is going to play a role. He has to. He has to.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 249, McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. You know, I know it's a tough crowd, sports radio fans, and what we do here. I'm getting, from a handful of people, not many, but I'm getting killed for being a Mets shill now. I mean, you can't make it up. You can't make it up. You're turning into a Mets shill. I can't take this damn radio anymore. Mets, Mets, Mets. I talk too much Mets now. Apparently I do Yankee hot stove from 4 to 5. I'm a Yankee shill. I talk Mets in the open because I thought their win, even though the Yankees had just finished and the Mets were earlier in the day, I thought it was that big a win from the New York Mets where it felt like that was still the lead to me despite the extra inning walk-off victory from the New York Yankees. And now I'm a Mets shill. And it's nothing but Mets, Mets, Mets out of me. That's all I give you. Can't make it up. Cannot make it up. 888-808-1019. And listen, I know everyone, a lot of people are hung up on the Lindor MVP stuff. I know that's like a sports talk radio or SMY, Baseball Night in New York kind of topic. It's a topic we could discuss or whatever. But like, one, I'm not focused on it. And I'm surprised Met fan. I know that you've never won. I know the Met, and again, not that the Yankees are swimming in MVPs. I know Judge has had one. He's probably going to get another one. We've seen Alex Rodriguez win two in somewhat recent history. But it would be the last thing from my mind on whether or not my guys, like, I'm not even arguing the Judge. I haven't brought it up once. I don't think I've brought it up once. Judge Bobby Witt Jr. I haven't brought it up once. I saw Joel Sherman on MLB Network talking about how you could argue because he plays shortstop that Bobby Witt Jr. is the more valuable player. Like, whatever. Will I care if Judge wins the MVP? I promise you. I mean, for a day or two, I'll be like, man, I really feel like Judge should have won the MVP. And then I'm moving on. It's about winning championships. And right now, the Mets are in the middle of it. The last thing I'm concerned with is whether or not Lindor is going to win the MVP. But if you want to have the conversation, we can. And I'll tell you my thoughts on it right now briefly. He's not going to win the MVP. And quite honestly, unfortunately, I don't think he should. Shohei Ohtani, and you know I'm a Shohei Ohtani shill, just line up all the shill things I am. Shohei Ohtani is having an incredible season for the first place Dodgers. Like, do they have other great players? Of course. Of course. That's how it works. They're in first place. Mookie Betts missed a lot of the year. And he's going to be the first 50-50 guy ever. And he's going to hit 50 home runs. And it's not like he's just a slugger. I mean, Shohei, he's having, like, Ohtani right now is batting .290. He's got 47 home runs, 47 stolen bases. Baseball Reference hasn't updated last night's game, but I know he hit a home run. So he's got 47 home runs. So he's got at least, I didn't see what kind of home run it was, but he's got at least 102 RBIs. He's got 47 stolen bases. He leads the National League in slugging percentage, OPS, OPS plus, total bases, runs scored at 115. Oh, and by the way, he's doing it while he's rehabbing Tommy John. Like, he's got a better batting average. He's got a better on-base percentage. He's having a far superior, and you have to. You have to have a far superior offensive season if you're going to DH. Totally agree. And we've never seen one. I remember the conversation in 2005 when Alex Rodriguez won his first MVP with the New York Yankees. Him and Big Poppy were right there numbers-wise, but he played third base, so he won the MVP. But they were right there with each other, neck and neck. I'm sorry. And I know this is a tough conversation. I just praise Lindor. I am praising Lindor. Lindor's been incredible this year. He's been everything you could possibly want from the New York Mets. And if he wins the MVP, great. You won't hear me complain about it, but I'm just telling you. Shohei Ohtani plays for a team that's going to win the division, that's going to finish with the best record in the National League, and he's having an unbelievable offensive season. He's the second best hitter in the world. That doesn't bother me, nor does it excite me, nor does it change the fact that Lindor, since moving to the leadoff spot, has practically dragged this team into the third wild card. He's done an incredible job. But I'm surprised how many Met fans are actually focused on whether or not Lindor should be the MVP. I know, listen, you want to chant MVP? Fantastic. That's awesome. Do it. There's an excitement around this team, a feeling around this team, and part of it is Lindor being the MVP. I get that. But it's the furthest thing from my mind right now is whether Lindor is going to win the MVP. Is he going to help you win on Friday? And I have no doubt that he's going to do something that's going to help you win. He's been remarkable. And he's earned, the contract. We could forget that noise finally. We could forget all the different noise that has surrounded Lindor until, he's hitting 200 in May next year, then we'll get back to it. But right now, we can eliminate all the noise on his underperformance, his not being worth the contract, whatever else the case may be. The guy's been absolutely electric. And that home run yesterday, now, do I agree that he got a cookie? I have no idea for the life of me. Now, I was on and off with the game. I was still asleep for the first inning or two. Then I had to take my son to practice. I was listening to some of it on the radio. Then I was watching it on my phone at my son's soccer practice. So I didn't see every pitch of this no-hit performance from Francis. I saw the eighth inning, and he was living on the he was throwing a lot of fastballs, but why in the world you would throw Francisco Lindor an 0-2 fastball a little bit up and down the middle? I mean, that's just an atrocious pitch. I don't know if it doesn't have to be hit 400 feet, but he deserved to lose his no-hitter for that one. That is a terrible pitch choice. Terrible. You cannot throw Lindor a strike 0-2. Not the way he's going right now. You cannot do it. And I mean, that home run gave you goosebumps. That is the kind of home run. No doubt. We joke a lot about it. Evan jokes a lot about it. People say it, obviously. The DVD. If there's a world championship DVD, that is. And I like the idea of the bookends, too. I like the idea. I know they still have another 3 weeks to have the season here, but 0-5, the low point of the season, or the early part of the season, that, you know, feels like rock bottom moment, being no hit against the Tigers. And having that home run from Alonso, having the home run from Lindor being no hit, it kind of is a nice little bookend on what they've done between those two home runs. And it has been a roller coaster ride. Some of the worst play in baseball. Relievers throwing gloves into the air. Meetings. Just brutal walk-off losses. Great wins. Guys, you know, the emergence of what seems like the best offensive third baseman in the sport right now in Vientos. That brief stretch where Nimmo was the hottest hitter in the planet. Like, just so much different, so many different things has happened over the course of this year. And it just feels like, I don't know about you, but I don't care if you're a Met fan. I don't care if you're a Yankee fan. I don't care if you're a baseball fan. How you cannot be locked in Friday night against Philadelphia. I mean, this is what we live for in some ways to start the year. Now, for me, things change. Things absolutely change. There are marks that are hit throughout the year, and things change. The Mets were a half a game out of the top wild card spot a month ago. That changed what they were supposed to do, expected to do, what's acceptable for the final outcome of this season. That all changes. But if you look back at the beginning of the year, like, at least you can say they have already met the bare minimum of what this season was supposed to be, where they build and try and win while they build. You have a game on Friday night that the collective baseball world has to be locked into. Mets, Phillies. Mets a game up. Or we'll see. Atlanta off as well on Thursday?
Everybody in the National League wild card race is off.
Okay. So you are going to be heading into that Friday night against Philadelphia. A game up on Atlanta for the wild card. I mean, this is where, with 3 weeks to play, you're going to have Quintana on the mound against Aaron Nola. I can't wait for it. This is appointment baseball. This is what we do. This is what, if you're a baseball fan, this is what it's about. Yankees, Red Sox tonight, appointment baseball. Mets, Philadelphia, I mean, the Mets have given you, at the very minimum right now, they have hit at least a moment where we are in mid to late September, there's 16 games left in the year, and they are about to play a game that you would not miss to save your life. That you are going to go out and, honey, what do we get? We're ordering something for dinner. Like, this is a Friday night and a weekend series against Philadelphia that you change plans for. You tell people, no, I can't go. Like, this is appointment television. Have to watch the Mets Philadelphia. Have to watch Mets Phillies. Have to. And at the bare minimum, this new GM who's done a great job this year, and this manager who's done a great job this year, and this owner who tried to limit expectations at the trade deadline last year and the offseason this year. I mean, at the same time while building, this is what they told you they wanted. Now, I think they have to finish the deal. Otherwise, it'll end up being a disappointment for me. But that doesn't change the fact that at least, at the very least, with 3 weeks left, with 16 games left, Mets Philadelphia on a Friday night is, I wake up thinking about it. And that's what it's all about, man.